As a CEO or entrepreneurial leader, you want to focus on overall vision, alignment, and running a great business. You want your business to run efficiently, with less effort and little pain. Welcome to Operationally Speaking with Sergio Samel. Sergio and his very special guests will give you the tools to run your business well and gain the momentum to break through to the next level. Now, here is your host, Sergio Samel.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to episode number 26 of Operationally Speaking, where we exclusively focus on the art and science of operating entrepreneurial businesses. I'm Sergio Samel, your host, and I'm the principal EOS implementer, Colby, and predictive index specialist at Get Business Momentum, where we help owners and CEOs of small to mid-sized entrepreneurial companies like yours get what you want out of your business by implementing a simple, well-proven, and complete system for operating your company. If you missed any of the Operationally Speaking past episodes, you can listen to it on demand here on the Voice America Business Channel, as well as wherever you listen to podcasts, such as on iTunes and Stitcher. And now, let me introduce my great guest today, Phil Halberton. Phil, you are a business advisor and coach with a passion for helping other CEOs create successful businesses and lives. You are the CEO of Speaking of Leadership, a firm whose mission is to help companies achieve maximum performance and its leaders achieve their full human potential as authentic leaders. You also serve as a chair for Vistage International, the world's leading chief executive organization with more than 22,000 members in over 15 countries. Previously, you served as the fundraising CEO of Differential Proteomics as a group controller for Becton Dickinson, where you substantially improved the profitability of this $800 million medical group, as the CFO of Genome Therapeutics, as well as the CFO for General Cinema Theaters. You are the former president of the Boston chapter of Financial Executives International, former vice chair and lifetime achievement award recipient of the MIT Enterprise Forum of Cambridge, and you also have also served as a coach for Mass Challenge. Phil, I am delighted to have you on Operationally Speaking today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And so am I. So, Phil, just to start a little bit on a slightly lighter note, you know, business is sometimes too heavy and too serious, and definitely for some people, way too stressful. So, do you know, or do you have a favorite like business anecdote or a joke you can share?
Oh, that's a good one. When I was younger and traveling in my profession, and we would stay out late at night, possibly too late, and we would get in late in the morning. The general manager of this particular location came in to us one morning and he said, "Listen, if you're going to hoot with the owls, you better soar with the eagles in the morning." And I never, ever forgot that because he was really teaching me a lesson that the early bird actually catches the worm and get up early and go to work.
Absolutely. And actually, I've kind of experienced that from you because I got sometimes emails answered at 5:30 in the morning from you. So so I know that that's actually a fact of life with respect to your work practices. So one of the things that I always am interested in, actually everybody that I speak to, and definitely in everybody who's a guest on my show, which is where did they come to arrive to where they are today? In other words, is there in your life, for example, an event or a force or even a person in the early stages of your development that has had the strongest influence on you becoming who you are today, Phil?
I would say other than my family, who's always been very supportive, my first mentor was a partner in a CPA firm. And I was one of these individuals that was attracted to accounting. My dad was an accountant, a CPA. And I moved right into that particular industry. And this partner sort of took a shine to me and liking to me. And he pushed me and supported me and put me in over my head. And it wasn't so much he was trying to set me up to fail. He just had a lot of trust in me, and this gave me a tremendous amount of encouragement as I continued to build my career. And for that, I'm very grateful for, you know, his wonderful mentorship, which lasted well over 10 years.
That's actually a wonderful story, and it's interesting that you yourself, and we'll talk about that in just a few minutes, you yourself have become a mentor to lots of business leaders and CEO in particular through your Vistage work. Well, we'll get back to that in just a few minutes. So tell us a little bit, just in a minute or so, about speaking of leadership. What's its purpose, and perhaps what is it that it's best at?
Well, I would say speaking of leadership is its nexus is all about leadership. And when I say speaking of leadership, it's sort of a play on words a little bit. I speak about leadership. It's about leadership. And it's about trying to bring out the best in others. And I would say 15 years ago, I had it trademarked, speaking of leadership. So it's always stuck with me. That it became my core offering after I grew tired and not disillusioned, but I needed to expand my wings and my horizons. And that's a whole nother story about how that all came about. But but I'm in the business of really trying to help people grow now.
That's actually a wonderful business, and I share actually. To a very large extent, your passion as well. So when we spoke before this this show, we kind of decided together, in fact, you proposed that the core topic of our conversation should be about decision-making, and in particular, about the role of emotions in the process of making decisions. So now you said to me that there are four aspects of building a business. So what are they briefly?
When I think of a balanced scorecard, which is really a way of sort of understanding a business, I think of four areas of the business. One is the customer experience, or the people who we're interfacing with or selling our product or service to. Our internal employees, which I put a frame of reference around talent development, then business operations, which I know you know an awful lot about business operations as well as I do, and that's the execution piece, and then the financial performance piece of the business. So I think of the business in four quadrants, and I see too many CEOs focused on the financial, and I think of the financial piece being monetization of all the behaviors in the other sectors. So if we really do a good job of defining what needs to get done in our selling our products, our customer experience, the business operations, and as well as our own talent development, if we really do a good job there and we monetize that, we're going to get really good fair rates of return. And we're going to have good financial performance. So I think of a business in four quadrants.
So if we think about those four quadrants, so here's a kind of a fundamental question. What does decision-making have anything to do with this?
That is a excellent question. I think decision-making has to do with how you approach your business. And it first starts with, and I think we probably both agree on this, it's the core values of the enterprise. It's our integrity. What do we stand for? And sort of why are we in business? And I can talk a little bit more about why in just a few minutes. Sure. But as a part of that, having the initiative to figure out what the strategy is that you're trying to accomplish. What are you selling? What product are you offering? How should we approach the marketplace? What is the best way to approach the marketplace? Do we do it directly? Do we do it through distributors? What type of organization do we need in order to, one, make that happen, and two, service the business once we get the business? And then, of course, often forgotten are the business processes to really make this all happen. And I see many, many businesses have really good, strong fundamentals around their customer service, less so with their own people development, and they underinvest in the business processes, which causes many CEOs, at least in the practice that I'm involved with, they're spending too much time on the ground reacting to day-to-day problems and not enough time in the balcony overlooking their business and trying to act as a true leader. And I think that's part of the issue that probably we both face when we talk with our clients.
Absolutely. Speaking about CEOs, as I mentioned in the introduction, you are a Vistage chair, which means you are the chair of at least one Vistage group. So we have a couple minutes before the first break, but tell us a little bit about Vistage and the groups you have been chairing, and primarily, what is it like to be a Vistage chair?
Well, Vistage chairing is something I sort of gravitated towards, and that's a whole nother story about how I got involved in the business. But it was an interesting small world. I saw an ad, would you like to become a peer group chair? And I sort of checked the box, and of course my name and telephone number went in, and in about 30 seconds somebody called me in. Or called me up, and about I would say over the next 5 months, they reeled me in like a fish slowly and convinced me that maybe being a Vistage chair would be something that would be appropriate for my career and where the stage of my life was. And so I jumped in with both feet. And it's turned out to be the best gig I've ever had, because one is I'm working with really great people who are trying to do the best for their business. And I'm also myself personally growing every day. Every day I'm learning something new. And it's not necessarily about the business as much as it has to do with human psychology and just being a person and helping people get, you know, to the next level. It's been wonderful.
I can just imagine. And we will take a couple of minutes of a break pretty soon. But when we come back, I want to drill a little bit further into your story about dealing with CEOs. And perhaps afterwards, we will start exploring one by one these four quadrants and look at them from the perspective of decision making. So let's take a couple of minutes of a break. And we'll be right back. Don't go away.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain, so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Serge Samel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergio at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com or directly at 1-617-731-3132.
Tune in to the Soul of Enterprise, Business in the Knowledge Economy. With co-hosts Ron Baker and Ed Kless, Ron and Ed will show you how to recognize that wealth is created by intellectual capital. It's all in the possibilities that we can create and that are created for us. These possibilities are destined to be discovered by human imagination and through the service of others, creating a brighter future for all of us. The Soul of Enterprise is heard live every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Business Channel, and simulcast at the same time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog, Press Pass? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective. Plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at vapresspass.com. That's vapresspass.com. VA Press Pass by Voice America. All access, all the time.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now. Toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Sergio Semel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Sergio Semel, your host, and I'm sitting here with Phil Hulverton, CEO of Speaking of Leadership, and Vista's chair extraordinaire. So, Phil, we were talking right before the break about your involvement with Vistage, and you were sharing with us your wonderful story about how you became a Vistage chair. So what is it like to be a Vistage chair? If you can paint us a picture in like a minute or so.
Well, there are two aspects of being a Vistage chair. One is actually recruiting members or getting people or individual CEOs, men and women, to become members. And the other is actually facilitating the group. So if I may, I'll just sort of talk about one first. Sure. One is getting the members or convincing members that this is a worthy activity that they might want to undertake is to really help them discover where they have pain in their particular business. So it's not selling in the sense about we're promising anything. We're trying to understand where their pain points are. And then as we understand their pain points, we're able to communicate some of the direct results of what a Vistage peer group will do to help them solve that pain. And that comes in part with the emotional aspects of being a chair. Actually running a chair or a group is really meeting facilitation and being able to handle one-to-one conversations with CEOs. So it's a matter of asking questions, digging a little bit deeper, digging a little bit deeper, and digging a little bit more deeper to really understand what the real issue is that they're facing. And one of the really difficult activities that I initially incurred was that being a business advisor, I was always pretty good at giving advice. But coaching is not about giving advice. It's helping the other individual explore their deeper feelings about a particular topic so they come up with a particular solution. And this is something I have to work on every day.
That is actually brilliant, brilliant way of explaining the difference between coaching and what I call not necessarily maybe an advisor, but also a consultant, you know.
Exactly.
Absolutely, you know, spot on. So you are, you know, the facilitator and the coach of all these CEOs and business leaders. And one of the four aspects of business building that you yourself listed earlier, was operational excellence. So out of your Vistage experience, and maybe even your own personal experience, what kind of decision-making takes place in this area of operational excellence? And perhaps you may have some examples of like success or impact stories from your Vistage group members, of course, keeping the confidentiality.
Of course. I would say that in the areas of execution, most of the CEOs that I deal with do not understand or do not appreciate or do not give enough time and thought to the degree of complexity and the devil's in the details. So they're quick to, I never have time to do it right the first time, but I always have time to do it twice. Mm-hmm. So they jump ahead. They're like shortstops in a baseball field. When the ball's hit to them, they're able to field it and throw it over to the first base. So they're not really pitching the ball as much as they should be. They're actually responding to conditions on the ground. And this is one of the most difficult aspects of the CEO's job, because granted, they all started out as engineers or as salespeople or accountants. You know, they all have their own, what I would call, functional expertise.
Right.
But climbing over the mountain to the top as a general manager and being a CEO is not easy for them. And they are easily pulled back to what they know best. And they make decisions within that frame of reference. I continue to be admired by my CEOs who actually climb up to the balcony of their business, overlook, and when we have a discussion about a particular activity, they lean into it and actually try to implement it as quickly as possible.
So I
have an example if you'd like.
Oh, absolutely. I was just going to... Follow up with exactly this request. Do you have an example?
Yeah. So one of Vistage's offerings is we have speakers that come in and talk and try to do some education to our CEOs. And we recently had a speaker who came up and spoke to our group about the culture of accountability, creating and sustaining a culture of accountability. And I haven't seen a CEO who wants to be held accountable, but I do have seen plenty of CEOs that want to hold other people accountable, if you get my drift.
Oh, totally. I'm
sure you can see that in spades. But in one example, I had a managing partner of a law firm who was having trouble convincing his fellow partners that collections of outstanding receivables was an important business process, and they needed to follow up on a timely basis and so forth. So the speaker said, listen, we have non-negotiables when we're talking with our people and trying to attain accountability. In a conversation, for example, he says, we only have four different possible responses from the recipient. So imagine you're a managing partner and you're saying, partner Y, I need you to reach out to the client and get a commitment of when they're going to pay their outstanding receivable. Otherwise, we can't continue to do work. I only got four potential responses. The answer is yes, I'll do it. No, I won't do it. I'll commit that I'll try to do it, or I'll counteroffer to you and something else. This managing partner went back to his partnership, and individually, one by one, he talked to some of his partners, and he said the results were astounding about how people responded. And people who wouldn't be in touch with their clients, people who would not be in touch with their clients were getting instant responses from their clients on collections. So all he had to do was adjust the way he was communicating with his actually in this case his peers, and he was able to get a much more acceptable result. So I call that a business operation. It's how do you get things done through other people?
Absolutely. So speaking about business operation or the operational excellence piece, so that was one quadrant. Moving over to the second quadrant, which you listed as the customer experience. So how does emotions-based decision-making factor in this area? You mentioned to me earlier that showed, I think, the famous TEDx talk by Simon Sinek called Start With A Why to your CEOs. I would love to hear more about the impact that that had on your business group members.
So in each one of our meetings, I try to combine issue processing, helping them sort of process their own issues, or some educational component. So this particular meeting, I decided I was going to show Simon Sinek's 18-minute video that everybody knows is called How Great Leaders Inspire Action. And this video, by the way, is at 35 million views. So it's not me just talking about this. Simon Sinek is very clear about we as CEOs or we as leaders, we know what we do and how we do it, but we most of the time don't have any foggiest idea why we're doing this. So I presented that as a challenge to each one of my CEOs. What is the why of your business? So I had one individual CEO who was in the camera manufacturing business, and he could tell me how he made his cameras and what he and how all that worked and everything, but he couldn't give me a good why as to why were they in business. And after teasing it out over a couple weeks or months, he finally came up, we're going to save lives because these are cameras that are going to go into automobiles and they're going to save people's lives. I had another CEO who, and this is one of my stars, and another CEO who is in the hospitality or restaurant business. And I said, hey, Brian, tell me, what is your why? And he says, I've been talking to my publicist and we can't really figure it out. And, it's really hard. But he can tell you how many meals he serves and how he makes them and all that kind of good stuff. And I was sitting there in a one-to-one in his office, and back on the wall was a nice big poster with people standing at a bar and with great smiles on their face and having a really great time. And I said to Brian, I says, gee, that poster reminds me, it looks like you're in the celebration business. And, I come back and, we go on to the next month. I came in and I said, hey, Brian, any further thought about your why for your business? He pulled me out a nice four sheet glossy advertising says we're in the celebration business. So here's an innocent remark that I made in a one-to-one trying to tease him out or making an observation about what I saw in his surroundings. And he ran with the ball. And now he knows that he's in the celebration business. So what's this have to do with customers? Customers really buy on emotion, and they use logic to justify it. So if you're pretty good at convincing from a why perspective and emotional component to it, people are going to end up understanding that. It's a little bit like climbing up Maslow's hierarchy of needs and helping them in their own self-mastery. So
Exactly. So we're going to take a quick break right now, and when we come back, we'll maybe add a couple of things about this, and I have another question for you vis-a-vis your working with CEO. So let's take a couple of minutes of a break and we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Serge Samel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergio at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com or directly at 1-617-731-3132.
How is your work-life balance? In most businesses, no matter where you are positioned, there is always room for improvement. If you're an executive, learn insight about your business. Are you an employee? Learn how to better work with your team. Even if you're not in business, you can learn where your strengths and weaknesses can be played to their best potential. The Work-Life Balance with host Rick Morris can be heard live every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Leadership is a vital skill set in today's competitive global economy. Being a leader is not enough. To succeed, you must optimize your performance and know how to imbue others in your organization with leadership skills. Practical, actionable leadership insights are the focus of Leadership Development News, hosted each Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, by Kathy Greenberg and Relly Nadler on the Voice America Business Channel. Doctors Greenberg and Nadler, who coach global leaders on how to be most effective, will share their insights and contacts. The path to leadership excellence begins here.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Sergio Samel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Sergio Samel, your host, and I'm sitting here with Phil Halberton, CEO of Speaking of Leadership, and Vista's chair extraordinaire. Phil, before the break, you were sharing with us your experience with a couple of your CEOs in your Vistage group, vis-a-vis customer experience and vis-a-vis them actually coming up with the why of their business. So in working with CEO leaders, what do you find is the most difficult for them?
Trying to decide where to start. I would say the most difficult part is having them back away from their business and seeing it in a much more holistic and larger view. I have a Vistage meeting, and some of these CEOs who might in other businesses be considered managers, they're actually working on tasks. How do I solve this task? And that's not about being a leader. That's about being a manager and trying to get the right answer for a specific question. I also find out the hardest part for CEOs is their ability to add to the formula of making decisions two different components. So we have a little acronym we use, HERD, in approaching decision making, and it's really about CEOs investing hours of energy in trying to come up with a decision. And the D is for dollars. So they're investing time and money, and they're trying to look for a rate of return in terms of dollars. But what they miss, which is really, really important, are the two middle letters of the acronym, which is E and R, and that's called emotions and relationships. And they often overlook the emotional toll that some of these decisions that they're agonizing about is taking on them and in also taking on in the organization, and then also about relationships. I have seen time and time again a CEO comes in and said, we have outgrown the usefulness of our CFO. I use the CFO as an example, only because it's in my wheelhouse, but we've outgrown the use of our CFO. But it takes him 18 months to come to a final decision that they have to let this person go on to their next life. And the emotional toll that is taking on this this CEO over that 18-month period is absolutely extraordinary. And it is also having a tremendous unfavorable impact on the rest of the organization. And typically what happens at the end of 18 months when he or she finally makes this decision, the rest of the organization says, why did it take you so long? Because they can see it much more clearly than the CEO can. So I would say the challenge is the CEO backing up and really seeing things from a more holistic view.
Well, you couldn't be more right, Phil. I mean, I've actually experienced exactly that with many, many of my clients. In fact, I would say probably if I were to do an inventory of my EOS clients, probably more than half of them have had at least one instance. And I'm talking about at the leadership level, not down in the bowels of the organization. Right. At the leadership level, one of those, at least one example of taking forever to make a decision. In fact, the longest I've experienced with one of my clients was 37 months. 37 months it took that that CEO to finally come to the conclusion and the decision and actually execute the decision. Because sometimes people say that they made the decision, it takes another 3 months to execute it, but to actually execute the decision of liberating somebody from that position. So speaking about people, this is actually a perfect segue to my next question for you. You remember the third quadrant in your four quadrant model was talent development. So how do emotions, in addition to what you just shared with us, intervene in this area?
Well, that's a really excellent question, and I'm not sure emotions actually does interact with it. What I would say that in terms of talent development, most organizations do not do a very good job of specifying what their organization needs to look like 3 to 5 years out. So take it, for example, if a company were to grow from 20 to 40 million over the next three years. Mm-hmm. The organization that you need 3 years from now may or may not look much like the one you have today. And when I talk about talent development, I talk about really sort of sketching out an organization chart of what it might look like in order to be able to, one, achieve that growth, and then number two, execute against that growth. And it's very hard for them to do it. I mean, it's always easier just to sort of, oh, we need another body. Let's go find them. Do we have them inside? No, we don't. Do we have them outside? Oh, by the way, I have somebody over here that I've grown and trusted, but I'm not sure he'll be able to do the job, but let's move him over and see if he can do it. And it's not unusual that people fail when that happens.
Absolutely. In fact, in my EOS practice, we use, so one of the first things that we do when I start with a new client is actually do exactly what you're talking about, Phil, which is go through an exercise of designing the next organizational structure. In fact, we don't even go as far as 3 years out. We only go about 1 year out, but designing the organizational structure and not thinking about people, but thinking actually simply about structure. So kind of taking all the people out and asking ourselves the question, what's the right structure that we need in this organization to get to the next stage? And only then put the people back in and see where we actually are going to have misfits and deal with them, right?
So yeah, I like that approach.
Right. So Gino Wickman, the inventor of EOS, once told me, you know, it's structure first, people second. That's and you know, I found it, and in fact, I would be curious to see what your opinion is about this. I found it that most CEOs and actually most leadership team have a real difficulty adopting this. They are so used to the, well, we'll create a job around this person who's really talented, and you know, we'll figure out what he or she is best at, and we'll create a job around them. What's your experience?
I would say my experience is that happens more than it should. Mm-hmm. I agree with your philosophy. What is the ideal organization? And then see where we can have a partial fit. And then what development activities does this individual need to take on to be fully perform that job? Often when we go out to recruit for people, we'll never find the right person, the exact right fit for anybody. So it's a matter of trying to find where there's overlap. So if you've got somebody that can do 50% of the job and the last, 80% of the job, mm-hmm. and the last 20% doesn't really work, can you live with a last 20% not being able to be covered by this individual? Because if you always look for a perfect match, you'll spend your entire time. It's like looking for a needle in a haystack. They just don't exist. And every organization is a little bit different. So when somebody comes to the table with a key skill like a sales manager, you know, maybe they've got 80% of the capabilities, but they may not have all 100%. And if you continually wait to try to get a perfect match, you'll be waiting forever and you'll never get anything done.
Absolutely. Now, speaking about, you know, development or actually talent development, how about the development or the effort that goes into developing the right leadership team? What do your CEOs experience and where do you see their biggest kind of failures or shortcomings in this particular topic?
I would say... that's funny you ask, because I would say my CEOs that are in Vistage are investing in themselves because they're, you know, experientially month in and month out. And I say you're coming to our leadership laboratory this month. You give mm-hmm. a chance to practice some leadership activities that you wouldn't practice out in your own company. And you have friends and colleagues who will keep you in check or the guardrails up. Right. But they're not willing to invest in other people. And they hope that people will get it on their own. And I think they're underinvesting in the very core talent that they need in order to be successful. And with a rising employment status or the reduction of unemployment, getting good people is really, really hard. So one way to keep people is invest in your people. That might keep them from running to other companies. And as one of my colleague friends in the speaking industry says, sometimes you have to move laterally or even go down a little bit to continue to develop your enthusiasm so you can ride higher. You don't always need to be promoted achieve a milestone in the company. You can continue to enrich yourself and your career by moving laterally and relearning additional and new skills. And many companies forget that.
Well, It's absolutely. I have a very, very similar experience with my clients, Phil. So we'll take a short break right now. And when we come back, we'll tackle the last of the four areas in your four quadrant model for developing a business. So don't go away, and we'll be right back.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Serge Samel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergio at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com or directly at 1-617-731-3132.
Do you need directions to solid financial future? If so, the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with a roadmap to making smart money decisions in every area of your personal finances. Join Jordan every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern for the Money Answers Show on the Voice America Business Channel. Learn how and where to get the best deals on mortgages, cars, and insurance. Find out the best ways to save for college and retirement. Get out of debt, improve your credit rating, and save on your taxes. The Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with great tips on investment opportunities in real estate, stocks, annuities, and other investment vehicles. That's the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman on the Voice America Business Channel every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Serge Samel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Serge Samel, your host, and I'm sitting here with Phil Halberton, CEO of Speaking of Leadership, and business chair extraordinaire. So, Phil, before we go to the last quadrant of your four quadrant model, let me ask you a question that's definitely not about Vistage or about speaking of leadership, but it's about you. So, if anybody made a movie about your life, what would that be called?
I have a choice of two.
Go for it.
Wandering down life's path, because I've gone in so many different directions and I've continued to develop. Or a cat has nine lives, and so do you.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. So let's talk a little bit about the last and fourth aspect, which was financial performance. You kind of touched on it very, very briefly up on top of the hour. So how do decisions play in that realm? And what do emotions play, or what do emotions contribute to or intervene in that area?
So I would, this comes in two segments. One is if you're a public company, and one if you're in a private company. So most of my members in my Vistage group are private companies.
Of course.
And I would say that most of them really don't fully appreciate what good financial metrics their businesses should be achieving. Whereas if you're a public company, you're benchmarked against the best and the brightest, right. and you're watched by security analysts and so forth. So let's just talk about the the public company. So I was involved with public companies several times throughout my career. Mm-hmm. And where the emotions come in is that quite often CEOs would be listening to the Wall Street analysts, and they would be, what's the right way of saying this? They would be succumbing to their opinions about what they should be doing to run the company. Mm-hmm. And I've had great admiration for people like Mark Zuckerberg and the Google folks that say, listen, this is our company, and this is what we're trying to achieve. And if you don't like it as a financial investor, I'm sorry, move on to somewhere else. Whereas a weak CEO, one that sort of is always looking over his shoulder and right. is trying and listening to his shareholders, will always be succumbing to what they are saying. So that's why you often see companies being pushed into mergers and acquisitions. And you and I both know that 80% of those fail anyway, because they don't do what?
That's a generous number.
and they don't, because of poor execution, as you would well know. And in the private companies, I would say most CEOs that I experience is that they look over year performance, and they sort of look at it to what they think their stomach can share. They don't know what the right level of performance should be, because they're not doing very much external benchmarking. So it's really a matter of what they can tolerate themselves emotionally. So if let's use an example of where a particular activity in the financial area can have a great economic impact, is where you don't have any backbone with your customers and you don't push pricing. So you're worried that you're not going to get the order, so you always give a discount, and that has a tremendous impact on gross profit and EBITDA and return on investment. And emotions can come in to play when you're making decisions that have a financial impact on your business. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, one thing that I learned speaking about attitude towards customers, and that I'm actually coaching many of my clients, is to at some point in time in the development of the company is to actually look at take the list of all your customers, order them by the profit margin on a per customer basis, which obviously you have to measure first before you have the data, right? Exactly. And then go to the bottom of that list and take the last, say, six or some number of customers and do one of three things with each one of them. Either fire them as customers, because essentially you are bleeding money, or have a conversation with them, essentially convincing them that they need to actually play nicely, because you know you can't be spending all this time and energy and effort on them, because essentially you're losing money, or raise the prices and see what happens.
Exactly. Now, and maybe they'll self-fire themselves.
Exactly. you hope so. Or they would actually pay the higher price. And very often, by the way, Phil, people will gladly pay. They value your services or your product. And if you happen to be actually underpricing it in the marketplace, they'll be gladly paying your price, and you'll find out what your real price is in that
exactly.
as well. So that's it's kind of an interesting exercise. So we are coming towards the end of our journey here, Phil, and I'd like to offer you the opportunity to give our listeners a gift via two quick recommendations: a book and an app. What would you recommend?
Well, I'm a big reader of all the leadership books I can get my hands on.
Sure.
And the one by Marshall Goldsmith is "What Got You Here won't get you there. How successful people become even more successful. So I think we all have rate limiting steps in our own growth. And unless we are open to learning from others about how we can continue to grow, then we're going to be, you know, putting a cap on our own, our own selves. Now, for all the books that I read, the best app that I have is Amazon.com and Kindle, because I find myself buying Kindle books almost daily, putting them on my Kindle app. Yep. And where I'm riding on an airplane or something, I don't have to be carting books in my briefcase. I can just be reading them on the app. So it really works for me.
Absolutely. So if people want to reach out to you about the business or leadership or anything else, what's the best way, Phil?
They can email me at P, and it's Philip, P. Holberton at Holberton.com. I have a Facebook page called Phil Holberton, coaching and speaking of leadership. I'm also on LinkedIn, as I'm sure you are, and Twitter at Phil Holberton for Twitter.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Phil, for being my guest here. And thank you, our listeners, for spending this precious hour with us. If you found what you heard on this show helpful, point your business friends and colleagues to Operationally Speaking. As a matter of fact, point everybody to Operationally Speaking. And if you listen to us on our webpage at voiceamerica.com, don't hesitate to click on the banners to get your free consultation on how to turn your business vision into reality right now. Or send me a request at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. You will be surprised by what's possible, and I promise you will never regret that call. Ever. So see you again next Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern or 12 noon Pacific. And until then, make it an operationally sound and happy week. Goodbye.
Thank you for tuning in to Operationally Speaking. Be sure to join your host, Sergio Semel, for another great program 1 week from today. We're live every Friday at 12 noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Business Channel. In the meantime, you can reach Sergio for additional questions at 1-617-731-3132 or by email at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that is os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Enjoy your upcoming weekend, and may you and your business make it a smooth and successful week.